This is Fresh Air. My guest Yehuda Amakai is one of Israel's best-known poets. Many of his poems are about war. His view of life has been shaped by war. He's fought in four of them, including Israel's War for Independence, the 1967 Six-Day War, and the 1973 Yom Kippur War. During World War II, he fought with the British Army in the Middle East. Amakai was born in Germany in 1924 and fled the Nazis with his family in 1936. They settled in Palestine. Amakai left his home in Jerusalem 5 days ago for an American book tour to do readings from his new book of poems, Even a Fist Was Once an Open Palm with Fingers. I asked him what it's been like in his family's sealed room during the Scud alerts.
At the beginning, it was really much more frightening until we got used to it. And so we went to the sealed room. And as I said, it's the first time that I have been in a war which I fought with cello tape.
Right.
It's very, very funny idea. But okay, we went there. I still have two children at home, a 12-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy who's going soon into the army. So we went into the room, and the radio and television was constantly on. So it was a kind of contact we all had. People were talking. It's this kind of half talk show and with music in between. And when the alarm was, it was always very quiet and cool. And of course, a little girl was a little excited, and well, she's starting to be a young woman, so she's anyhow excited about life. So it's a bad start to be excited with a reason like that. And
what would you tell her?
Well, no, she's very bright and so on. She knows, but she tried not to show it. But I saw she was very tense and very. And the boy, of course, he was playing the big macho. He was taking charge because my wife and me, we sometimes thought, "Oh, come on, let's go on sleeping." If we are hit, we are hit, you know, that kind of attitude. So he never let us, really, took command of the whole house.
You have a poem I'd like you to read, and it's called What Did I Learn in the Wars?
Yes.
And it's in your new book, Even a Fist Was Once an Open Palm with Fingers.
Yes.
When did you write this poem?
About 3 years ago, I took my three children to the battlefields. I was in 48, which is in the Negev, in the southern part of Israel, which at that time was half desert. Now it's all, you won't recognize it's a desert anymore. And I showed them certain places where I hang out, where I took my friend when my friend fell, where I was wounded. And, you know, and I took my children there. It was just a 1.5 hours ride from my home, so it's very near. And so it was really a strange memorial for me. And so I took them there, and I have a few poems about that, which of a series which is called Anniversaries of Love. But it's one of the poems in which I summed it up. What did I learn in the wars? What did I learn in the wars? To march in time, to swinging arms and legs, like pumps pumping an empty well. To march in a row and be alone in the middle. To dig into pillows, feather beds, the body of a beloved woman. And to yell Mama when she cannot hear. And to yell God when I don't believe in him. And even if I did believe in him, I wouldn't have told him about the war, as you don't tell a child about grown-ups' horrors. What else did I learn? I learned to reserve a path for retreat. In foreign lands, I rent a room in a hotel near the airport or railroad station. And even in wedding halls, always to watch the little door with the exit sign in red letters. A battle, too, begins like rhythmical drums for dancing and ends with a retreat at dawn. Forbidden love and battle, the two of them sometimes end like this. But above all, I learned the wisdom of camouflage, not to stand out, not to be recognized, not to be apart from what's around me, even not from my beloved. Let them think I'm a bush or a lamp, a tree, a shadow of a tree, a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, a living hedge, a dead stone, a house, a corner of a house. If I were a prophet, I would have dimmed the glow of the vision and darkened my face with black paper and covered the magic with nets. And when my time comes, I shall don the camouflage garb of my end, the white of clouds and a lot of sky blue and stars that have no end.
That's Yehuda Amakai reading his poem, What Did I Learn in the Wars, which is published in his new book, Even a Fist Was Once an Open Palm with Fingers. Now, I want to ask you about a line in that poem.
Yes.
The line is, to yell God when I don't believe in him.
Yes.
You know, there's an old saying that there aren't any atheists in a foxhole.
Is there a saying like that?
So yeah, there is.
I feel as if I had said it. Yeah, it's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. Have you found in the wars that you fought in these conflicting feelings of not believing in God yet needing to believe in something faced with
it? I don't know if it's so much believing. I don't think it has to do with believing. It's just saying, it's just crying out something. So if someone says, you know, a lot of people who are believers and Orthodox, they always tell me, you see, if it comes to bad times, or even if you experience something very, very beautiful and good, you say, oh God, it was wonderful. So God is just a thing you say, because no one knows what it is and who it is. But it's something beyond. So I'm calling it. So instead of saying, oh, fate, or supreme intelligence, and so on and so on, it's like I would. I called my father dad and my mother mommy, and it came to my mind to call my father dad. What's that? It's a name, it's a word. I never say, okay, it's a biological machine to produce me. Yes, so it's just a dad. So it's these things of childhood, and I think it's very great. It's a need to know that you can call something, even if you don't believe in it, and it's probably totally different, because otherwise... If the God imagined would be, it would be. Because Allah and God are the same, actually. Both Muslims and Jews and Christians believe in the same God. And yet each one prays to the same God to give victory to his arms. So it can't be, it must be something much more, which we'll never understand. And okay, because I'll never understand what it is, so why should I bother with it?
My guest is Israeli poet Yehuda Amakai. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Poet Yehuda Amakai is my guest. Excuse me for the stereotype, but I know a lot of writers feel that they're more comfortable reading or writing, you know, at a desk than doing very physical things like fighting in a war. And I wonder if through all the wars that you fought in, you felt like a very kind of physical type of person, or if you felt uncomfortable in that role?
I didn't start my life as a poet. I started writing only after two wars, but I was sensitive to it, and words probably were welling up in me, but I never thought of, you know, when I was in the army. I don't feel I am a poet. It's totally meaningless. It's not a profession. You are a poet when you write a poem. The moment you don't write a poem, you are not a poet, and to give you an example about the last few weeks in all these air raid shelters and so-called sealed rooms, a lot of people, of course, ask me, "No, have you written a poem about it?" You know, they always ask you, "Something's happening. Oh, write a poem about it." But I forget that I'm a poet, and I think poets who are constantly aware is in a very bad shape. People should be not aware constantly. I'm a poet, so what do I have to say? Yes.
In the introduction to one of your books, to a book of collected poems, the translator and editor, Hannah Block, tells about one of her friends describing how at the beginning of the 1973 war, the Yom Kippur War, her friends were going off to fight the war and they were packing copies of your books of poems. And I wonder if you hear stories like that a lot.
I've cried a lot because my poems are out of experience, so whether it's a love poem or a poem about the death of my father or a poem about the war. So, because I wrote only about my own experience, so other people can use it. And I believe that every poem should always tell the truth, not say sweet things about situations. We are not sweet, but on the other hand, not say everything is bad, everything is rotten, and death. And so I think every poem I wrote it for myself as a kind of healing or a kind of soothing song to keep myself going. And then eventually other people in similar situations can use my poems as a healing or to go on.
Is there a poem of yours that you think became particularly popular among soldiers during certain wars?
Well, it's quite a lot, yes. I just can't mention one, but...
We'll mention one.
Yes, well...
As a matter of fact, you might want to read one of them. I have a book of collected poems here.
Yes, I think maybe one of the poems is called... it's actually the first, and it's one of the first I wrote about 4 or 5 years after the war in 48. And it says, God has pity on kindergarten children. God has pity on kindergarten children. He has less pity on school children. And on grown-ups, he has no pity at all. He leaves them alone. And sometimes they must crawl on all fours in the burning sand to reach the first aid station covered with blood. But perhaps he will watch over true lovers and have mercy on them and shelter them like a tree over the old man sleeping on a public bench. Perhaps we too will give them the last rare coins of compassion that mother handed down to us so that their happiness will protect us now and in other days. I think it's also a poem which... high school kids have to study.
Oh, unless, right.
Yes. So, but the idea there is really that, first of all, about the merciless world. If you could, instead of God, you could say history or the world. The fact that the whole order of the world is not right, that we all think that helpless people need more help, more love, more compassion. So very small children... and bigger, but then the fact comes that an 18-year-old boy who is wounded in war and has to crawl on all fours like a crawling baby is more helpless than a small baby. So, and then of course the anti-war thing is love. Perhaps God will have some consideration for people who love. And for me, love is the only way to overcome the war. Also. Love is much stronger, and not in the narrow sense of, let's say, like it's a Vietnam slogan, make love, not war, which is, life is like that, you have to have, like in this poem, you have to have a fist sometimes and sometimes an open hand. I would say, when you make love, don't forget that there are dangers in the world, which you have to do something about. And when you go to war, don't forget that love is the only force to help you.
And you feel you've always been able to keep that in mind?
Yes, I have.
Did you ever carry books of poems with you while you were in war?
No, actually not. But I read a lot before. And actually, there's another sad thing I found out in my last war. It was the Yom Kippur War. I was already 49 years old, so... I was not in a first-line combat unit, but I could have been because things at that time looked very shaky. So I suddenly found out that in times of real danger, words don't help you. It's another big disappointment of my life. You know, when things get really very bad, as in sickness, so you go back to mama and God. And right. And the same goes for good experiences. If you are really in love, you don't write love poetry. And if you mean it, so nothing can express you. So that's a big disappointment.
And you feel like you didn't learn that until 1973?
I try again and again. It always, you come to the same conclusion, but I keep on trying, yes, to say it better, to say it stronger and so on.
My guest has been Israeli poet Yehuda Amakai. His new collection is Even a Fist Was Once an Open Palm with Fingers. This is Fresh Air.